الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the شرح of العقيدة الوسيطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. Tonight is the 16th of Rajab, which corresponds to the 18th of July or June. Sorry, I'm always out of date. 2011. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala wa askanahu fasiha jannatih qal wa huwa subhanahu yuhibbu al-muttaqina wal-muhsinina wal-muqassitin. And he, the sublime and the exalted, he loves al-muttaqin. Who can translate al-muttaqin?
Translate
taqwa? I didn't say translate taqwa, I said translate al-muttaqin.
Allah loves
the people of taqwa. Hey, one at a time, jama'ah.
Huh? Allah loves the people of taqwa.
Wow. Come on, man. Give me a better... That's okay, I'm just teasing you. Person. I want a translation for the muttaqin. You gave me a definition, you gave me the same thing. Try again. Let's like, give him another shot. Maybe his feelings got hurt. I just joke with people. Don't worry, man.
Al-muttaqin, the people of taqwa, that's what I mean.
For sure, akhi. Yeah. But we want English now.
Okay, taqwa means true.
I don't want taqwa. Let's try to find a one word translation. There you go. That's one possible translation. Any other options? He loves the pious.
God-fearing.
God-conscious. Beautiful. Anything else? Righteous. All these are acceptable. Of course, if you want to go into the details, we can define the taqwa and what it really means and what have you. But I was looking for a quick translation. Nice try, akhi. You're not hurt, aren't you?
No.
Okay, aren't are you? Because well, muhsinin, muhsinin.
Doers of good.
Huh?
Doers of good.
Doers of good. Well, that's the usual translation, but I personally disagree.
Excellent goodness. People who does good only for sake of Allah.
Tayyib, but still, there's better than that. What did you say?
Excellent goodness. Excellent goodness.
Uh-huh. People who excel, because good is jayyid, صح? Jayyid. Mumtaz, jayyid means good. Ihsan is actually excellence. It is not just doing good, it's actually going to extremes in doing good or excelling. So what would be better, not that what you said is incorrect, what would be better is those who excel in doing good. Because ihsan, we learn, is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. But if you cannot reach that level, then you know that Allah sees you. That's really the highest level of iman. The highest level of iman is ihsan, which is really excellence in the worship and servitude to Allah. So, muhsinin. Muqsitin, we need a third person. Wait. Third. Anyone else? Muqsitin. Qist. Inna Allah ya'muru. In some of the ayat, yes. Other than بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى. Qist, what is qist?
Fairness.
Fairness or? Just. There's all, they use also equitable, but that's besides the point. على كل حال. Now these are some, those Allah loves, subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of taqwa, the muttaqeen, the muhsineen, and the muqsitin. يعني أن الله عز وجل يحب المحسنين. The Shaykh said that means that Allah loves the محسنين. لقوله تعالى وأحسنوا إن الله يحب المحسنين. I mean the ayah is explicit. And excel in doing good. Verily Allah loves those who excel in doing good. That was Surah Al-Baqarah ayah 195. And Allah loves the muttaqin. والمتقين لقوله تعالى فما استقاموا لكم فاستقيموا لهم إن الله يحب المتقين. As long as they remain upright with you, then you be upright with them, or you stand clear for them. Verily, Allah loves the muttaqin. And so, inna Allah yuhibbu al-muhsinin. Now we have, inna Allah yuhibbu al-muttaqin. Wal-muqsitin, لقوله وأقسطوا إن الله يحب المقسطين and be equitable, verily Allah loves those who are equitable. Now who can add, who can give us additional traits or kinds of people whom Allah loves? Give us the evidence. إن الله يحب التوابين ويحب المتطهرين. The التوابين are those who continuously. تواب is مبالغة. It's a hyperbole. You know, meaning they are doing it consistently. Every time they disobey Allah, they repent to Allah. والمتطهرين. Those who purify themselves. غسل, وضوء, استنجاء, and what have you. So then there's the inner cleanliness and the outer cleanliness. Anything else? You better give us an evidence, Ya Muhammad. Inna Allah yuhibbul mu'mineen. Now we know, but we need an ayah, we need an evidence for if you're gonna claim something, I need a dalil. Without the dalil, it's nice, but it's.
Uh-huh.
So Allah loves the patient. Hasant. What else? Surah As-Saff. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ صَفًّا كَأَنَّهُمْ بُنْيَانٌ مَرْصُوصٌ. Allah loves those who struggle in His way, who fight in His cause, in a row, you know, as if they are a single structure. We have others, but that is enough for now. Now the Shaykh said, فَهُوَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يُحِبُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وما ذلك هو الذي قدر لهم هذا العمل الذي يحبه. So Allah loves those individuals, He loves them. This is besides the fact that it is Allah who had decreed that they do these deeds which He loves. يعني Allah first allowed them to do the deeds of the people of taqwa, the people of ihsan, the people of qist, and then after that He allowed them, He gave them success to do these things, He loved them for it. He loved them for it. فكان فعلهم محبوبا إلى الله مرادا له كونا وشرعا. The deeds which they did are beloved to Allah and they were intended كونا وشرعا. They were intended universally and legislatively. What does that mean? According to the understanding which we had before, what does that mean? That Allah intended that, He wanted that, legislatively and universally. If you can't answer this question, you did not understand the previous 2 to 3 lessons. Irrelevant. Irrelevant. Allah, ya Abdul Majid, خليك معنا على الخط يا عبد المجيد. Allah loved, Allah intended, عفوان, intended and wanted these things universally and legislatively. What does that mean? Were you there?
Quran and Sunnah.
Quran and Sunnah. Okay, continue. No, no, but we want. Okay, you're there, but we want something more accurate. Did we not say that the irada of Allah is of two kinds, universal and legislative?
Yes.
And we said that Allah Azza wa Jal, there are things which He loves. And the things which Allah loves and He wants are those which Allah intended universal or legislatively? Legislatively. Does it mean that they will happen in the universe? Not necessarily. Allah loves Iman and He hates Kufr. According to His legislative will. But according to His universal will, did He not allow kufr to exist? Even though He hates it? Did He not allow it? Did it happen without the will of Allah? Can anyone disbelieve unless Allah wills? No. So He willed it universally, did not will it legislatively, because He's not pleased with kufr for the slaves. In fact, He wants them to believe. But He gave them the free will. Their free will allows them to disbelieve. So according to the universal will, they're given that choice. Legislative, they're not really given that choice. They're supposed to do good and leave alone bad. Clear. So when we say that Allah is beloved, their action is beloved to Allah and it is wanted by Allah legislatively and universally, meaning in the deen of Allah, in the Quran and the Sunnah, Allah wants you to be a muttaqi, a muhsin, and a muqsid. And universally, Allah will that they do these things which bring about His love. You get it? Is that clear? So Allah intended these things legislatively, obviously, according to the Quran and Sunnah, universally, that if Allah didn't will, none of us would have done an action of taqwa. If Allah didn't will, not even one of us could have done not even a single act of piety. It is with Allah's will that we do these acts of worship. So He willed it universally that you and I are able to establish salah earlier. And He willed it and wanted it legislatively because He said in the Quran, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Is that clear? Because there are things which Allah willed universally but did not will legislatively, and there are things which Allah, and everything which Allah willed legislatively obviously is willed universally. You need to, you know, think it over at your own time and make sure that everything is in order. It's very important to understand this, because this is basically a revision of the previous lesson. على كل حال, the Shaykh said, فالمحسن قام بالواجب والمندوب. Now look at the degrees. المحسن, he said, those who excel, you'll see why, are those who did what is obligatory and recommended. Those who did, or the one who did what is obligatory and what is recommended. والمتقي قام بالواجب. The person of taqwa, he carried out the obligation. He may not do actually voluntary acts of worship. Can a muttaqi commit a fahisha? Can a person of taqwa, can a person whom we can call a person of taqwa or a taqi, can he commit a fahisha?
Depending upon his level of taqwa.
I want a yes or no answer.
Yes.
How many say yes? Raise your hands. How many say no? Five. Those who say yes, what's your evidence?
The universal rule still applies.
Muhammad. Ya Muhammad. Huh? No one has an evidence? Ajib. Yeah, now you're saying that a person of taqwa will commit a fahisha. You know what a fahisha means?
Yes, yes.
Meaning a major, abhorrent act of disobedience. Not just something minor. Usually fahisha is actually adultery or fornication. It's that grave. Or that level of gravity. That gravity. Huh? And that grave actually. You better give me an evidence, otherwise you really need to explain yourself on what basis did you claim that a taqi can do this. That's a good one, but isn't there a clear evidence? Ya Muhammad, Allah yarda alayk, Ya Muhammad. How many of you have memorized Surah Al-Imran? Great. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Go down a few ayat, two ayat, it will say, وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Until the end of the ayat. So in the context of Allah describing the muttaqeen, He said, and those who, if they commit the fahisha or they wrong themselves, they remember Allah, so they seek forgiveness, and who will forgive the sins but Allah? So this is a clear-cut ayah that the people of taqwa may commit a fahisha, and it does not make them leave that the boundaries of people of taqwa. Yes, that decreases the level of taqwa, it may affect it, but it does not exclude them from that. Otherwise, the muttaqeen are very few in this world. How many are the people who actually live their whole lives like an angel or close to an angel? Not that many. So people have, you know, they slip up. Of course, another example, some of the Sahaba fell into, you know, sins of adultery, some of them into drinking alcohol. Yes, They were human beings. They're the best of their generations, no doubt. And this does not undermine or belittle their status in any way, shape or form. But this is the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla in His creation, that perfection belongs to who? To Allah. This is so we will know that even the prophets and the messengers, عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى. He was reprimanded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because perfection belongs to Allah. Some of the ulama went to the extent to say, for example, in one of the battles when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his front teeth broken, and he had a cut or a wound in his face, and this is the Messenger of Allah whom Allah loves and has, you know the status of the Messenger of Allah and the side of Allah. Nevertheless, his face was exposed to harm. Why? So that this one of the scholars said, which is a very deep observation, so that the people will know that perfection belongs to Allah. That the face of Allah Azza wa Jal is the only one which is free from having anything of this sort. That all of the creation, no matter how high they are in status, they are still, exposed to harm and danger and what have you. Only the face of Allah Azza wa Jal is the immaculate. So this is the lesson which we learn from that. Ala kulli hal, how did we get here? A. والمتقي قام بالواجب. So the person of taqwa, he fulfilled the obligation. والمقسط اتقى الجور في المعاملة. The muqsit is the one who avoids injustice while in transactions. He doesn't wrong people while dealing with them. Now Shaykh al-Islam said, قوله ويرضى عن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ولا يحب الكافرين. And Allah is pleased with those who believe and do righteous deeds, and He does not love the kuffar. Very important to understand, because I will give you a reason why in a little bit, inshallah. But until then, those who don't have the book, who can give us an evidence that Allah is pleased with those who believe and do righteous deeds? Because our deen is a deen of evidence. You can't just say, well, I think or I know. Nice, but you need an evidence for it at the end of the day. An evidence that Allah loves, or Allah is pleased, Afwan, is pleased with those who believe and do righteous deeds.
In Surah Hadith, after that, Allah said, "Inna al-hayat ad-dunya wa fil akhirati 'adhabun shadid wa maghfiratun min Allah wa ridwan."
Surah Al-Bayyinah, last ayah of Surah Al-Bayyinah.
Aywa, tafadhal.
Alladhina amanu wa 'amilu s-salihati.
أحسنت رضي الله عنهم ورضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك لمن خشي ربه. That is one. أحسنت. Anything else? Well, actually that was the one I was expecting, because the other ones, if you haven't memorized the Quran, it may be difficult. But let's see what the Shaykh says. والدليل قوله تعالى, and that ayah you should know, though, the one which I will quote now, if you know the manhaj of the as-salaf as-salih, then this is a crucial ayah to be memorized when giving da'wah to that methodology. Not to the sect, but to the methodology. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ تَبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And the first and the foremost to embrace Islam among the muhajirin and the Ansar, and those who follow them on their footsteps in righteousness, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. That's Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 100. Memorize it. And secondly, the one that the brother mentions, Allah khair, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ جَزَاؤُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Verily those who believe and do righteous deeds, those are the best of creatures. Their reward with their Lord are gardens under which rivers flow, wherein they will abide eternally. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. So this is the evidence that Allah is pleased with those who believe and do righteous deeds. So if you're a believer and you do righteous deeds, then inshallah you have a share of that blessing and that virtue that Allah is pleased with you, to depending on to what extent we have iman and righteous deeds. قوله ولا يحب الله عز وجل الكافرين. Allah doesn't love the kuffar. Evidence, anyone?
ولن ترضى لعبادي الكفر من سورة الزمر.
ولن ترضى That's a major tahrif.
Sorry, I made a mistake.
It's okay. If you're not sure about the ayah, leave it alone. But you're right. But that's not what we're looking for, actually. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Allah not loving the kuffar. We have also special ayat. Your ayah we will use in a little bit, inshallah. It will come. It's used in another context. وَلَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. That's the one you want. Nah. But that's not what we're looking for now. We want an ayah which explicitly says Allah hates the kuffar. Allah doesn't love the kuffar.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, it's close, if يريد ليفتوى
بي أفواههم
بأفواههم
ولو كان الكافرون. Wait, time. Mayruk.
Yeah.
This is even if the kuffar hated.
Oh, yeah,
now we want an ayah that says Allah hates them.
In Surah Imran, أتي الله لك الرسول ومن يتولى فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين.
أحسنت. That's what we're looking for. Explicit ayah. Obey Allah and the Messenger, but if they turn away, then verily Allah does not love the disbelievers. And in Surah Al-Bayyinah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. These are the worst of creatures. يعني the animals and the plants and everything else is better in the sight of Allah than the kuffar. After all of that, you got some funny clowns who tell you that the Jews and the Christians are our brothers. They're our brothers. And you cannot say that Allah hates them. You cannot say that they will go to Jahannam. Irhamuk Allah. That they are this and they are that. Even though the ayat are explicit. And I'm sad to share this piece of information with you. Amongst them who has this very wicked statement is... what's that guy? Huh? Not Hamza Yusuf. The one with the scientific miracles of the Quran in his book, Harun Yahya. Very sad, Wallah. Wallah, I couldn't believe my ears, Ya Sheikh. Wallah, somebody sent me some YouTube videos. I almost vomited while listening to this thing. The guy brought, you know, we know he had some issues. Or we knew he had some issues in terms of his aqidah and his belief system and his rejection of the sunnah. That was one calamity. In addition to that, His statements about if somebody attacks the Israel, we will attack them, and these are this and these are that. Some crazy outlandish things that you think a Muslim would never say. He's saying this on Turkish TV. Okay, in some interview with him or whatever. So you can go on YouTube and check it out yourself.
I know, his books are there in our center as well.
Yeah, I know. I told them many times, but they don't listen. Ala kulli hal, don't use his books for da'wah. Allah has sufficed us. Allah has sufficed us. We have Maurice Bukai and we have some other authors who dealt with the scientific miracles of the Quran. We have sufficient information. We don't need to get a book with a million images of shayateen and fir'aun and, you know, all kinds of weird images in the book so we can give da'wah to a kafir. That's not a means of da'wah anyways, using a book full of images. This is besides the end of the book, which always ends with this idea that, you know, nothing is real, this table is not real, it's some imagination and all this crazy stuff, and then the sunnah being rejected. We don't need these books. So, you know, sometimes it is necessary to warn against individuals who are way away from the sunnah. Not someone who's like us striving but has shortcomings, otherwise we'll have to warn against ourselves first. I'm the first one perhaps on the list, because no one is free from sins and from shortcomings. But deviance at a large scale, that must be brought and presented to the Muslims so they can be careful. For example, Shaykh Abdul Majid didn't know what I mentioned right now, so he'll be more careful in the future, inshallah. Now, إذن والدليل قوله تعالى فإن تولوا فإن الله لا يحب الكافرين. So if they turn away, verily Allah does not love the disbelievers. سورة Al-Imran, ayah 32. مع أن الكفر واقع بمشيئته لكن لا يلزم من وقوعه بمشيئته أن يكون محبوبا له سبحانه وتعالى. Now, even though kufr is only taking place according to Allah's will, right or wrong, فمن شاء فليؤمن وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْ يَكْفُرْ. Allah allowed the people to disbelieve. And وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَيْ, which means you couldn't wish, you couldn't will to do kufr unless Allah wills first that you do kufr. So He willed it. However, it is not beloved to Him. Which basically brings the idea that it is not necessary that that which occurs in this creation is beloved to Allah even though Allah willed it. Even though Allah willed it to happen, it does not mean that Allah loves it. It doesn't mean that it is beloved to Allah. Is that clear? Is that clear, Akhi?
I think so.
Because you missed the classes before, so I think that maybe caused some confusion. But you will get the idea. So you said there's universal will of Allah and legislative. What I explained earlier. Anyways, the classes are available on MP3. You can always listen to the old files, inshallah, and you'll be able to get it all done. Now, قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. And Allah is not pleased with the fasiqeen. Who are the fasiqeen? Again, a definition. Don't tell me the people of fisq. Fasiqeen, translation.
Rebellious.
MashaAllah. You made up for the first one. Those who are rebellious. Fisq is rebellion. Why? Because it means that someone is almost extracting himself away from obedience to Allah. They're pulling themselves away from being obedient to Allah. It's a form of rebellion. When you rebel is when you go against what you're supposed to be in agreement with and in harmony with. وَالدَّلِيلُ قَوْلُ تَعَالَى فَإِنْ تَرْضَوْا عَنْهُمْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Even if you're pleased with them, then verily Allah is not pleased with the people, the fasiqin, the rebellious people. The Shaykh said, وَالْفَاسِقُ هُوَ الْخَارِجُ عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. The fasiq is the one who disdains obedience to Allah, who is away from the obedience to Allah. Now, is a fasiq a kafir or a asi? The fasiq, is he a disbeliever or a disobedient person?
It can be both.
It can be both.
Yes.
Can you give us an evidence for each? Anyone else? Ma'alish, I like what you're doing, barakallahu fik. But anyone else can give us an evidence wherein fisq or a fasiq can be the intended meaning could be kafir and or it could be simply a disobedient Muslim? If someone brought news to you, what do you do? Do you know the evidence for that?
Yes.
Hi, Amiru. Only you know? Give me the ayah.
Ya ayyuhallazina amanu.
Ladina. Not ladina, ladina. Ladina.
Ladina.
Aywa. Ma'alish, I have to pick on you.
In jaakum fasiqun bi nabai wa tabayyanu.
Ahsant. Kuma bi jahalatin is good, but we want the first part. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, in jaakum fasiqun bi nabain fatabayyanu. If a corrupt or rebellious person comes to you with news, verify it. According to the ulama here, this is a person coming to the Muslims, from among the Muslims. And what is the context of this? The context, you go back to the tafsir, it has to do with a Muslim, the idea. It has to do with what? A Muslim. So then here, fasiq could mean what? A disobedient Muslim. Can it mean a kafir? It can. An evidence? Oh, that's a tough one. The Shaykh will explain. ما في مشكلة. Listen to what the Shaykh says. ففي قوله تعالى, in the statement of Allah, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. So is he who is a believer, like he who is a rebellious individual, they're not equal. Now, what did Allah here make it the opposite? مؤمن فاسق. مؤمن and فاسق. Which means that the opposite of iman here is what? Fisq, which is kufr. Because it negates iman. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْمَأْوَى نُزُلًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. The idea that Allah said, as for those who have believed and they did righteous deeds, for them are the gardens of a boat as an accommodation for them because of what they used to do. As for those who fasaqu, then their abode will be the hellfire. Every time they wish to go out, every time they intend or they want to go out, u'idu fiha, they will be put right back in it. And it will be said to them, taste the torment of the fire, that the one which you used to belie and deny. So here Allah, He made a differentiation between the believer and the fasiq. The fasiq being a kafir. The Shaykh said, فَالْمُرَادُ بِالْفَاسِقِ الْكَافِرِ. The one intended by fasiq here is the disbeliever. وَأَمَّا قَوْلُ تَعَالَى يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا فَالْمُرَادُ بِالْفَاسِقِ الْعَصِي. Here it is a disobedient Muslim. على كل حال فالله عز وجل لا يرضى عن القوم الفاسقين لا هؤلاء ولا هؤلاء. Very dangerous. Allah, the sublime, is not pleased with the rebellious people. Not these nor those. Which means what? Meaning not the kafir fasiq or the disobedient Muslim fasiq. Allah is neither pleased with these or those. He's not pleased with any of them. لَكِنَّ الْفَاسِقِينَ بِمَعْنَى الْكَافِرِينَ لَا يَرْضَ عَنْهُمْ مُطْلَقًا. However, the kuffar, the fasiqeen who are at the stage of kufr, Allah is not pleased with them at all, in any way, shape or form. وَأَمَّا الْفَاسِقُونَ بِمَعْنَى الْعُصَاتِ. As for the fasiqeen in the state of disobedience, فَلَا يَرْضَ عَنْهُمْ فِي مَا فَسَقُوا فِيهِ. Allah is not pleased with that area in which they are being rebellious. وَيَرْضَ عَنْهُمْ فِي مَا أَطَاعُوهُ فِيهِ. But Allah is pleased with them concerning that which they were obedient to Him in. So then there's a distinction. It is not total hatred, or it is not total displeasure. Rather, it depends. The displeasure is proportional to the level of fisq. As for their ibadah, their obedience, then Allah is pleased with that. Whereas the kafir, the fasiq kafir, everything he does is what? Is what? Is worthless. Allah is not pleased with any of it, because he's a kafir. He misses the condition for the deeds to be accepted. قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى. Allah does not command fahsha, indecency or abhorrent sins. Who has a dalil?
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَى. In Surah
Al-A'raf. Inna Allah la ya'murukum bil fahsha.
Inna Allah la ya'murukum.
La ya'murukum?
No, okay, I know. Inna Allah harrama Rabbi al-fawahisha ma dhahara.
No, wait. Again, if you don't have the ayah, avoid it. If you don't have it memorized, avoid it. So you won't fall into the trap of changing the meaning. If you have been made to forget the ayah, it's better not to quote it. This is what the ulama mentioned. It's an advice for me and for you. If you don't have it for sure, leave it alone. Leave it alone. You came close. The ayah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى. Without the kaf. Not لَا يَأْمُرُكُمْ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى. Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 28. You mentioned the right surah. This is the dalil. لأنهم إذا فعلوا فاحشة قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها. Every time they committed فحشة, they, according to the ayah, they said, we found our forefathers doing it and Allah commanded us to do it. فاحتجوا بأمرين. So they gave two justifying reasons for their deeds. That we found our forefathers doing it and Allah commanded us to commit fahsha, according to these kuffar. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Allah said in refuting them, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى. Say, Allah does not command that you do fahsha. Never. وَسَكَتَ عَنْ قَوْلِهِمْ وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهَا أَبَاءَنَا. But Allah did not say anything concerning their statement, we found our forefathers doing it. Why? They said, the kuffar, when they were given da'wah, when they were committing fahsha, and the Anbiya came and told them, don't commit fahsha, they said, we found our forefathers doing it, and Allah commanded us to do it. Allah refuted them by saying, say, Allah does not command fahsha. But concerning the statement, we found our forefathers doing, Allah did not refute that. Why? Because it's true. They did find their forefathers doing it. So Allah only answered the part which they lied about, which is the fact that Allah commanded us. No, Allah never commanded you to do fahsha. But did they find their forefathers doing this shirk? They sure did. So Allah didn't say anything concerning that. Subhanallah al-Azim. لأنه حق لا ينكر. It's a true fact which you cannot deny. لكن والله أمرنا بها كذب. As for their claim, Allah commanded us to commit فحشاء, it's a lie. ولهذا كذبهم وأمر نبيه أن يقول إن الله لا يأمر بالفحشاء. This is why Allah belied their statement, and Allah commanded His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to them, say, verily Allah does not command فحشاء. ولم يقول ولم يجدوا عليها أباهم. He didn't say they didn't find their forefathers upon it. لأنهم قد وجدوا عليها أباهم, because they did find their forefathers upon it. قوله ولا يرضى لعباده الكفر. Allah is not pleased that His slaves disbelieve. He's not pleased with disbelief for His slaves. They go to Allah, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا يَرْضَ لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفُرُ. If you disbelieve, then really Allah is self-sufficient. He doesn't need you. And He's not pleased with kufr for His slaves. This is in Surah Al-Zumar, ayah number 7. Very important. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not pleased with kufr for His slaves. لَكِنْ يُقَدِّرْ أَنْ يَكْفُرُوا. Does Allah decree that they disbelieve? Or do they disbelieve without the decree of Allah? You. What's your name?
Shamir.
Do people disbelieve on their own, or is it by the decree of Allah that they disbelieve? Are you sure? 100%. No doubt. So Allah decreed it. Is Allah pleased with it? No. How come?
Just
how come then Allah is not pleased with something, but it's happening?
There's a matter of free will involved.
Yes. That Allah gave us the free will. So the general principle, which we all need to understand, the fact that Allah doesn't like something, it doesn't mean that He would not allow it to take place. Meaning Allah will decree things which in His deen are not allowed. But in His universe, He allows them to take place. And without His decree, they would never come to existence. But Allah allows them. This is what universally. If we come to the legislation, then we have the evidence which tells you whether Allah is pleased with that thing which He decreed universally, or Allah is not pleased with it. Whether Allah loves it or Allah doesn't love it. Ahsanta, I think you have a good understanding, inshallah. طيب. وَلَا يَلْزَمْ مِنْ تَقْدِيرِهِ الْكُفْرِ أَنْ يَكُونَ رَاضِيًا بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It is not necessary, because Allah decreed kufr, that Allah is pleased with it. بَلْ يُقَدِّرَهُ وَهُوَ يَكْرَهُ وَيَسْخَطُ. Rather, Allah decrees it while He hates it and He detests it. The very thing. قَوْلُهُ وَلَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. What is fasad?
Corruption.
Corruption. Mischief. Good. Anything else? I think these are pretty good translations.
دليل ذلك قوله تعالى وإذا تولى سعى في الأرض ليفسد فيها ويهلك الحرث والنسل والله لا يحب الفساد. سورة البقرة آية 205.
And if he travels upon the earth, he will strive and make an effort to spread corruption and mischief in it, and destroy al-harth, crops, wa nasl, the cattle. What is intended here? Wallahu la yuhibbu al-fasad. And Allah does not love mischief.
كرر المؤلف رحمه الله مثل هذه العبارات أو مثل هذه العبارات ليبين أنه لا يلزم من إرادته شيء أن يكون محبوبا له.
Why did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله repeat these kind of expressions? He did so that it will become clear that the fact that Allah intends something does not mean that it is beloved to Him.
ولا يلزم من كراهته للشيء أن يكون مرادا له بالإرادة الكونية.
And it is not necessary because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal hates something that it is not something which He intended universally.
بل هو عز وجل يكره الشيء ويريده بإرادة الكونية.
Rather, Allah would hate something, but He wills it. He wills it to happen universally, meaning in His universe.
ويوقع الشيء ولا يرضى عنه.
And Allah will allow something to happen while He's not pleased with it. For example, Is Allah pleased with a believer dying? Does it please Allah that a mu'min dies?
A believer dies.
Does it please Allah that a believer is killed or dies?
No.
No?
In reality, nobody is killed because your soul is still.
Hey, wait, man. I smell philosophy over here. No, bro. Listen, man, this is Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah. There's no room for philosophy. What do you mean, reality, no one's killed?
No, a believer is killed that he might become a martyr also.
Forget about that now. We're saying, did Allah, for example, warn against killing a believer?
Yes.
In Surah An-Nisa, what did Allah say? You are the Hafiz, mashallah. وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا. Continue the ayah. طيب. فزاؤ جهنم. What else? Four or five things for the one who kills a believer. For the one who kills one believer, Allah is angry with him. Allah has cursed him. Allah has prepared jahannam for him. Five punishments in Surah An-Nisa for killing a believer. Meaning Allah is not pleased with a believer being killed. But doesn't Allah allow it to happen? Aren't Muslims dying every day? Yes or no? So then the fact that Allah doesn't like something does not mean He will not allow it to happen legislatively or universally. The fact that Allah does not love something universally, legislatively, He doesn't want it. He does not want it. It's a believer and his blood is sacred. صح دمه حرام وماله حرام وعرضه حرام. All of this is sacred for the believer. Killing the believer is great in the sight of Allah, but Allah decrees it to happen. So the fact that Allah allows something universally to occur does not mean that Allah is pleased with it legislatively. Allah understands. It's very complicated, yet very simple. I don't know, man. We just have to think it over enough. Now, ala kulli hal, now here we're going to come to the technicality of the whole situation, which is the best part of it. But فَإِنْ قُلْتْ, if you say, and probably some of you are saying that already, كَيْفَ يُوقِعُ مَا لَا يَرْضَاهُ وَمَا لَا يُحِبُّهُ. How does then Allah allow something to happen if He doesn't love it? If Allah doesn't love it, He's not pleased with it, why does He allow it to happen? وَلْ أَحَدٌ يُكْرِعُ عَلَى أَنْ يُوقِعُ مَا لَا يُحِبُّهُ وَلَيَرْضَاهُ. Can anyone force Allah to have that which He doesn't love or hate happen? Can anyone force Allah to have something which He doesn't want? If Allah will, none of it would happen. صح? Is anything happening by some other force equal to that of Allah Azza wa Jal? Absolutely not. So if you're logically thinking, أخي, you keep telling us that Allah doesn't love it, but He's decreeing it. How come? Why? Is that a question that came on your mind? Or, mashallah, your mind is clear from this idea? We'll see. You don't have to tell me. Keep it to yourself. طيب. فالجواب, the answer. لا أحد يكرهه أو يكرهه على أن يوقع ما لا يحبه وما لا يرضاه. No one can force Allah for him to do something which he doesn't love or is not pleased with. No one has that authority to make Allah do something which he doesn't love or is not pleased with. وهذا الذي يقع من فعله عز وجل وهو مكروه له. That everything which happens is from the actions. It's from Allah's decree, even though it is disliked and hated by Allah. وهو مكروه له من وجه محبوب له من وجه آخر. This is the crux of the matter. It is hated to Allah from one angle, and it is beloved to Allah from another angle. It is hated in some respects, and it is beloved to Allah in other respects. لِمَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْمَصَالِحِ الْعَظِيمَ. Because of the tremendous benefit which results from the existence of that which Allah hates. We will see. فَمَثَلًا, the Shaykh said, example. فَالْإِيمَانُ مَحْبُوبٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Iman is beloved or hated by Allah. وَالْكُفُرُ مكروه له, is hated by Allah. فأوقع الكفر وهو مكروه له. Allah allowed disbelief to happen even though He hates it. لمصالح عظيمة, because of great benefits. لأنه لولا وجود الكفر ما عرف الإيمان. If there was no كفر, you would never know إيمان. Had كفر not existed, would there be anything as إيمان? everybody would be in iman. There will be no distinction between the kufr and the belief. I'll give you an example. If all of us were short, if all of us were midgets, okay, very short people, and we were a million, would that make a difference? No. Would we feel that this brother's short and that? No. When do we feel, when does that become an issue? When a tall person walks in, and all of us look at him like this, say, hey, we got a problem here. When do you appreciate height, or when do you become, or when do you acknowledge, being short? When height comes. The idea is when opposites exist, you get to appreciate things. If everything was the same, it's worthless. If everyone passed the exam with the same grade, there would be no special students. No students that are advanced. How does one become unique? How does one get ahead of everyone else? When people are at various levels and stages. So then those stand out. For them to become distinguished among their colleagues. So this is the logical explanation. وَلَوْلَا وُجُودِ الْكُفُرِ مَا عَرَفَ الْإِنسَانِ قَدْرَ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Had kufr not existed, the human being would have never correctly estimated and valued the blessing of iman, the bounty of iman, which Allah blesses with. We would have never really valued it correctly unless we had seen kufr. When we see kufr, then we see the ni'mah of iman. If everyone was a believer like us, then there would be nothing special about that. We would be just like them. وَلَوْلَا وُجُودُ الْكُفْرِ مَا قَامَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Had kufr not existed, there would have been no enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil. لِأَنَّ النَّاسِ كُلُّهُمْ يَكُرُونَ عَلَى الْمَعْرُوفِ. Because everybody is doing good. There would be no need to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. وَلَوْلَا وُجُودُ الْكُفْرِ. Had kufr not existed, ما قام الجهاد. Jihad would have never been established. It would have never been established. There would have been no martyrs, and there would have been no reward for the Muslimin for involvement in that. There would have been no mulk al-yameen, which is from the bounties of Allah to the believers in this life. Many of the blessings which Allah has prepared for the believers would not have been fulfilled or granted had kufr not existed, because there would be no jihad. ولولا وجود الكفر, had kufr not existed, لكان خلق النار عبثا. The creation of the fire would have been without purpose. لأن النار مثوى الكافرين, because the fire is the abode of the disbelievers. ولولا وجود الكفر لكان الناس أمة واحدة. Had kufr not existed, then everyone would have been a single nation. All human beings would have been a single nation. وَلَمْ يَعْرِفُوا مَعْرُوفًا وَلَمْ يَنْكِرُوا مُنْكَرًا. They would have never recognized that which is good, nor would they have prohibited that which is evil. وَهَذَا لَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ مُخِلٌّ بِالْمُجْتَمَعِ الْإِنسَانِي. No doubt, this will negatively affect the human society. وَلَوْلَا وُجُودِ الْكُفْرِ مَا عُرِفَتْ وِلَايَةُ اللَّهِ. Had kufr not existed, you would have not known the idea of allegiance to Allah. لِأَنَّ مِنْ وِلَايَةِ اللَّهِ أَن تُبْغِضَ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ وَأَن تُحِبَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ. Because part of the allegiance you have with Allah is that you hate the enemies of Allah and that you love the awliya of Allah. So now here we go. Again, you say disbelief, what good is there in disbelief? Say, had disbelief not existed, the believer, the iman would have been worthless,